Thank you, choir. And thank you for being here today and sharing in our worship together. This morning, we're going to be looking at the third word phrase. Jesus spoke from the cross. And this morning, it deals with compassion. Jesus shows compassion to those around him there at the foot of the cross, and especially to the woman that was there, which was his mother. He didn't call her mother, but he called her woman, and he was addressing John, and John to take care of her, and for Mary said, "Behold your son," which is family. And when you look at the church, when you look at your own family, but you look at the church family and a family of God, you know, that is really, really significant when it comes to being a part of the family of God. And Jesus showed unconditional love there on the cross. So follow along with me as we'll be looking in John chapter 19 and beginning with verse 25. "Therefore the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, and Mary, wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household and took care of her, provided for her, and loved her as his own." Now, it's often probable to study the last words of dying men. And many, many sermons have been preached on this very chapter, verses 25 through 27. I was talking to Virginia this morning, and she said as her devotions in the evenings has been in John, the Gospel of John, about the crucifixion. I said, "Well, that's what I'm talking about this morning, out of John chapter 19. So it's wonderful when you hear people saying, "That's what I've been reading. That's what I'm studying." These seven last words, you know, are very important for us. As I've stated from the very first series of messages, I've been talking about the seven phrases or words from the cross that Jesus spoke. Is very important for us to comprehend, because the first one was on forgiveness. He forgave the thief for living a life apart from him, separated from him in the physical and the spiritual state of life. And then he showed, then in this message here, compassion as the third word. So we call these the last words. We call them the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, and he said them on the cross. And the first word that Jesus uttered was forgiveness, addressed to the Father on behalf of those who were crucifying him, those who literally hated him, despised him, mocked him, and did horrible things to Jesus. And then Jesus said, and that shows the forgiveness that Jesus had from his heart, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant of the things that are important in their life. They're dwelling on the wrong things in life." And when we dwell on the wrong things, we're not doing the things that God wants us to do. So that's why Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then the second word that Jesus uttered was the word of salvation. He provided salvation for that repentant criminal. So it doesn't matter how much you've sinned, how low you are in your life, how much pain, how much that you've done that's contrary to the love of God, He still provides salvation for any of those who will draw near to Him at the cross. And then He told the repentant criminal, I tell you the truth. Truly, today you will be with me in paradise. So now we come to the third word that Jesus uttered was the word of compassion, addressed primarily to His mother, and it's found in this text, John chapter 19, 25 through 27, as we read. So near the cross of Jesus stood His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw His mother there and only one disciple, the other disciples were secluded. They were hidden. They were feared for their own life, except for John. And there was a special relationship between Jesus and John. John had that bond, that connection with Jesus, because the scripture often says that he laid on Christ's bosom or His chest, because it showed the love, the deep love, the understanding. And when you read and study the book of John and Revelation, you understand that connection. And see, that's the connection that Jesus wants with us in our life today. He wants us to have that relationship, that connection, that intimate, caring love, that unconditional love that Jesus showed from the cross. And I do believe when you read the Gospel of John, I love the Gospel of John, as Virginia said that she loves to read as well, and Revelation. And God, you see, gave John that special understanding and wisdom and revelation to write what he wrote here in John, along with the other disciples, not discrediting them, because all of it is from God-inspired, breathed through the Holy Spirit. In Revelation, though, and a lot of people stay away from Revelation because they don't fully understand it because of the symbols and things like that of the coming prophecy and so forth. But John is also carrying out what he has written here in John into Revelation about the Lamb of God and the things that we can expect one of these days when we get to heaven. And I mean, it's awesome that God, it's wonderful that He gave us His word as He did, as it is written right here in John and in Revelation, of the coming things for those who really truly believe. And it showed from the cross, as Jesus said, forgive them. And when the whole world could and would comprehend that, we'd have had a whole lot more people that would be in heaven and not separated from God, as we see here in the scriptures of one repentant criminal and the other one that did not repent of his sin. Now, so when we look at this, when Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, dear woman. And that's what that translation in the Greek means, dear woman. Here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, it says there in verse 27, this disciple took her into his home to care for her, to provide for her. Now, again, looking at the third word of our Savior on the cross is directly, primarily to His mother. You know, oftentimes when people are lying on their deathbed and so forth, and families gather around, and those who are there, they often speak words. And they're not thinking about anything else but except for those right there close to their heart. And they're speaking words of compassion. That's exactly what this verse is. It's talking about compassion. He had compassion for his mother. He cared for his mother. Even though he didn't call her Mary Mother from the cross, he called her woman because he wanted that relation to be carried on through all the people who were part of the family of God. So, in this third word on the cross, directed primarily to his mother, and an analysis of Jesus' third word on the cross as set forth in John chapter 19, 25-25, Jesus teaches us about compassion. We need compassion in this world today, don't we? More compassion in this world today. So that brings me to Jesus' compassion is sovereign. God is all powerful. Now, by saying that his compassion is sovereign, you know, I mean that Jesus never intended his mother to be exalted to the position of mediator. Even in the hour of death, Jesus implies that he is still sovereign. Jesus is sovereign, and that Mary is not to be exalted. Now, notice that Jesus uses the word, dear woman, here in this verse, instead of mother. The English, great English bishop, J.C. Rye, of the last century, he said, "But I think it is remarkable that our Lord did not use or say mother. And I cannot help thinking that even at that awful moment, he would remind her that she must never suffer herself or others to presume on the relationship between her and him or claim any supernatural honor and round of being mother." He goes on to say, "Henceforth, she must daily remember that her first aim must be to live her life of faith as a believing woman like other Christian women." Now, that's a good interpretation of what this scripture is talking about. A compassion. He was wanting Mary to understand her place and other people standing there, their place is to exhort the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everywhere that you read in the gospel, in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is always pointing to the cross of Jesus, never towards itself at any place. The Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus Christ. And he is most worthy to be recognized and praised because of the sacrifice that he paid for us on Calvary. So, as we look at this scriptures and as we try to, in our own interpretation, as the Holy Spirit teaches us through his word, the Bible, I'm thinking, what is the significance of this as far as the view of Mary is concerned regarding her ability to help us now? Again, quoting from J.C. Rye, he says, "We surely need no stronger proof than we have here that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was never meant to be honored as divine or to be prayed to, worshiped, and trusted in as the friend and patron of sinners." So we're all sinners, and we all come short of the glory of God. And he goes on to say, "Common sense points out that she who needed the care and protection of another, which was John, it was meant for John to be there. John had that as I say, that connection with Jesus, and Jesus knew his heart. And I do believe that Jesus knew that John would be there, and he could say that to John that day. John, you know, you stayed with me. You stuck with me. You're here. And now I want you to be here for Mary, my mother, even though he only called her woman there at the cross. That's that compassion. And he goes on to say, was never likely to help men and women to heaven or to be in any sense mediator between God and man. See, there was a person, purpose for this, and Jesus showed that compassion for his mother right there, and also for John when he said, woman, behold your son. You go with him this day, and he will take care of you. See, this text of Scripture teaches us that Mary was never meant to be any kind of exalted position. And some religions and denominations, she is highly esteemed. But in all worship and honor was to go to Jesus alone. Jesus knew that. Holy as she was still only a woman, and that as a woman she must feel deeply, and she was there to feel the passion and death of her son. Can you imagine that? Mary being there at the foot of that cross looking up to her son, and from some point in his life, early part of his life, when he was born, she knew he was special. And I'm sure she didn't know all the things that Jesus was going to go through as far as suffering and everything, but as she had witnessed it all, she looked up and saw her son. And can't you imagine the grief and the sorrow she was going through? You know, we go through that when we see our own family just suffer from physical pains and illnesses and things like that. Not like Jesus, what he went through. Can you imagine the pain that she endured through that time? And yet, she said, dear woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. See, Jesus was still caring. Not only did he provide salvation, forgiveness, but he showed compassion. And as you study these seven words or phrases, you will better understand the life of Jesus, why he came to this earth, why we celebrate, why we recognize Easter and the resurrection of Christ as we do. And then we also come to the point in this scripture that we see Jesus' compassion is personal. Of all the people in the world today, billions of people in the world today, you know, when he looks at you, he looks at you personally. Because he provided salvation to you personally. He just said, I'm going to just group everybody together. No, he says, I look at you individually. And he died for us individually. And you probably heard me say this before. If you say your name to yourself, if I was the only one on this earth at any given time, Jesus died for me. He died for you. He died for me. And the great problem with the human saviors of the world, as I might say, so to speak, who as over centuries have dreamed their dreams and built their empires around the world, is that in the process they lose sight of the individual. We see that all the time. And our personal society of hope and pain and struggle and achievement fall into significance besides the all-inclusive plan and individual of expandable. So when I look at this, see, Jesus is the difference. He makes the difference. As I said last week, perspective is everything when we look at the life of Jesus. See, the King who reigns over the cross at Golgotha truly is unique. and always. So here's a king whose embrace is as wide as the world. His love is embraced, this king who they crucified. And here is a king who says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. The Father gave Jesus all the authority. And that's when Jesus says, you know, beginning in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and all the parts of the world, I send you because God, the Father, has given me all authority to send you to reach all people. And Jesus, as before he ascended into heaven, as he looked at the disciples, he said, I want you to remember that you have greater works to do. Now, how could we comprehend that when Jesus would look at you or look at me and say, you have greater works to do than I did because I'm going to the Father? Because he knew the mission. He had set forth the mission. They were setting them up as ambassadors, disciples, to witness to all the things. And that's why John says in chapter 21, now, Jesus spoke and did many more signs and wonders and miracles than what I've recorded, and of all the books in the world could not contain what Jesus has done. You see, the magnitude of the works that Jesus accomplished, and then he looks at his disciples and said, you have even greater works to do. You see, he said, I'm leaving what I have started. I've accomplished what the Father sent me to do, and now you're going to carry this work on. You have great works to do. And see, that's what we have to do as well. We have great works to do. So how much are we doing on the part of Jesus when he said, okay, I pass it on to you. I died for your sins. And you see, that should encourage us even more to do great works, as Jesus said, because he died for our sins. We didn't have to die for it because he did it for us. He paid the wages of sin, and therefore, the great works that we have to do is much less painful and dreadful than what Jesus did. Virginia and I was talking this morning there. I love when people come up to me and start talking about the Bible and what Jesus said and things like that. And it helps me understand that our love for the Word of God is very important for our life, who guides us and leads us through this life. Now, it is perfectly illustrated here in this third word from the cross. As Jesus hung there on the cross, suffering painful death, wrecked with the burden of the world, redemption, all the sins on his shoulders. And yet, he found time to express his personal and loving concern for his mother. And we shall never again wonder if Jesus cared for about any of us individual. He does. He does. And he demonstrated that personally, his personal concern, showed that compassion on the cross. Now, as we look at the final words of John chapter 19, 25 through 27, during the funeral of the great evangelist, and he was known as the pastor of America, Billy Graham, as his daughter Ruth spoke at the funeral and so forth, she told of some precious moments that she experienced through some of the hardships in her life. And she talked about the difficult divorce, and that he greeted her when she came to him and welcomed her home. And she says, she recalls, there was no shame, there was no blame, there was no condemnation, just unconditional love. And you know, my father was not God, but he showed me what God is like that day. When we come to God with our sin and our brokenness and our failures and our pains and our hurts, God welcomes home, and that invitation is open for you. Those are the words that she spoke at Billy Graham's funeral that day, sharing, you know, the life that Billy Graham lived because of his personal influence in her life, because he was a man of God. Now, Billy Graham shows us that family is important. Jesus shows us that family is important as he looked at Mary there beneath the cross and said, Mary, or woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. See, we need to thank Jesus. Thank Jesus for his compassion, sacrifice on our behalf. He did a great thing. Spared us the pain, the heartaches of this world, dying in our sins, separated from him. And if you have never personally, you know, thanked him and surrendered your soul, your life to him, you know, what a wonderful time of the year, thinking that, you know, he came to this world, came to this earth to die for our sin personally. The compassion that he showed is demonstrated right here in this scripture today, this morning. And when I think about Jesus being on the cross, and you know, can you imagine yourself there that day looking up to Jesus, and when he spoke those words, Father, forgive them, he was speaking to us individually. You know, if I'd have been there that day, you know, I think I would just, my heart would just sunk. Even though I believe, I'm hoping and believing I was one of the believers that would be there, just like John. You know, touched with the compassion, as the scripture is talking about in this particular message, the compassion that he had. And all of those who took care of Jesus after that, when they took him down from the cross, you see, even the centurion soldier saying, oh, this was the Son of God. When all the things that took place, the earthquakes and the darkness came upon the face of the earth, you know, God was showing his power. That's the sovereignty. But yet in all of that, it was the compassion that he showed. And he's showing compassion to each one of us here today. And that forgiveness and that salvation, you know, is offered to each one of us if we'll accept it today. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for the power of your scripture. It speaks to each one of us individually. I am so thankful that we have your word and we can study it. And when you get into it and read it, you can't get away from it. It just captivates you. It just surrounds you. It's like Martin Luther says, you know, it's alive. It speaks to your heart. It has feet. It runs after you. It has hands, and it takes hold of you. And if we, when we understand it in that way, oh, it's awesome. It's awesome to know the power and sovereignty of your love. But may each one of us examine ourselves this morning and say, Lord, where am I in my life? Am I where I need to be? Am I fully committed? Am I fully surrendered? In the song we'll be singing, you say, just come as you are. As the writer said, just as I am. with that unconditional love. Lord, you speak to each one of us individually. It's personal. And Lord, we know when your Holy Spirit is at work, we can acknowledge it, we can feel it in our heart, in our soul, in our spirit. And may we be willing to step out and take a stand or make a decision for you. It's heartfelt. And Lord, you direct everything that way through your spirit. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand.